This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world. Today on Dreamland, we have someone who is really weird and wonderful. Samantha Leifker is going to be with us, and you will never have heard anything like this. You know, we try to talk to experiencers on this show because I am one, and you know, I feel like this is the place for them to come and get interviewed by someone who actually knows what they're talking about. And Samantha and I tried to do this a few weeks ago, and it was incredibly eerie. I had deja vu the whole time. I felt like I was in some kind of a time slip. And so we're doing it again, and I don't have deja vu now, so I'm hoping that Samantha Leifker, who is about to tell you the most extraordinary life story, one of the most extraordinary life stories I have ever heard, will succeed this time. Welcome to Dreamland, Samantha.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, Whitley.
Oh, it's so exciting to have you back. And thank you for coming back. It's nothing could be more frustrating than losing a recording like that. And what happened, I'll never know. But that's another story entirely.
Yeah. Okay. It's so wild.
Yeah, it was wild, all right, because the whole, you remember the conversation was wild. Yeah. It was a good conversation, but I kept feeling like, you know, you have deja vu every once in a while for a few seconds. You don't have it for an hour,
right.
But it was a total, I think the recording exists, but I don't think it's in this time stream. I think it's somewhere else.
Oh,
anyway,
my gosh.
This book is, and your life is so cool and it's extraordinary. You know, folks, some people just kind of live outside of the box. And it's called Born Awakened, the book, because Samantha was born outside of the box. Okay, I want to, before we really start into the detailed questions, what made you decide to write the book?
So what originally made me decide this was it actually happened a long time ago. I was a little girl when I was told that I was going to write a book about my life story, write a book about everything that I've seen one day. And a couple years ago, I came to a point in my life where it all just kind of came together and it was just the right time. And then I was just, something told me, now is the time to start writing your book. And so I started writing it, and it was just, I just published it a few months ago. And so it's been something that's been in my heart for years and years. I mean, probably 24, 25 years. It's kind of been inside of me, knowing that I would do it one day. And so, yeah.
Okay, so there, now I'm back, and I'm just starting StreamYard again, folks, and it works better than Zoom, but there will be odd glitches because it's me. I mean, I'm sorry. Anyway, here we go. Now, the thing that's so interesting is this started when you were so young. I mean, when you say, I was told at an early, what age were you?
I was probably 5 or 6 years old when I was told that.
5 or 6 years old. When would that have been, if I may ask?
Probably around the year 2000. I was born in 95, so 2000, 2001.
So around 2000, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, God. I had gray hair in 2000. I love it. I love it. Listen, being alive is a fabulous experience, folks, and getting old is very cool. It's not horrible. I'm having so much fun being the old guy. And you know, I go to conferences and people say, the legend, Whitley Strieber. Oh, my God, I'm not dead yet. But it's wonderful. Anyway, so something, this interests me a lot because I also, from a very early age, was engaged by the phenomenon pretty violently, actually, in my case, because it was very physical at an air base in Texas, and where I was sort of an experimental little boy being diddled with by cr fairly crazy people. In any case, what was this presence that was telling you these things that said that you would do this at that age?
That specific one, that was one that was looking out for me because I was the house I was born and raised in, it was like a haunted poltergeist house, and so there was a lot of very negative activity going on around me at all times, but there were beings that were sent to protect me and guide me and teach me. And that was one of those heavenly presences that it was like a knowledge transferred from them to me. And it just became like this big understanding that I had around that age. It was one that was watching out for me.
Now, most people, when they come into the world, there's nobody watching out for them. At least they don't. Let me rephrase that. I think most of us have guardians. I think we are watched out for. In fact, I'm pretty sure of it. But mostly, we're not aware of it. We don't feel it, experience it. But you did. Is there any sort of tradition of that in your family, like there is in mine? Going way back in my family, my great grandmother was very much a medium and psychic and pretty weird in a lot of wonderful ways. She was a marvelous woman. But in any case, in your family, how about that? Anything like that before you?
I mean, my family on both sides, we have a pretty Christian foundation. So I was raised by people who had faith on around me. And with that comes like the belief in guardian angels and things like that. And then I do have kind of that runs in my family line of being an experiencer or having this intervention or contact. My brother, my dad, his brothers, his parents. So there's that, I guess, that kind of runs in the family. And I know that that's a thing with experiencers a lot of the time is their parents had the same thing happen to them, and so did one of their parents or their siblings or.
Yeah, my mother used to have nightmares about monkeys coming in the windows, but she didn't relate it to this, of course, when we were kids. My dad was heavily involved in ways that I'm not sure I understand completely, and he facilitated my engagement with the people at the Air Force Lab in at Randolph. So there was that, and it's true of most of our families. It's always, it seems to be that it runs in families, and I think it's part of, Dean Radin of the Noetic Sciences Foundation published a paper, and he's getting a little bit more deeply into this, showing that most people have got a gene that is related to psychic abilities, that the people who don't have this gene all originate, or most of them originate, in Central Europe, where there was a massive effort over hundreds of years to kill everyone with psychic abilities, witches, etc., and so forth. Anyone who had any of that stuff was burnt or killed in some other horrible way. And the result is that this cohort of people don't have the gene. And I think if you looked into the skeptics and so forth, you would find that their family lines go back to that area, and they don't have the gene that most of us have. Most of us are actually like this. But some of us are more intense than others. And that's someone like you. Now, let's go on. Let's go back to the first childhood memory. Well, wait a minute. I want to go to the Christian thing first, because this is a very deeply Christian book, I think. And what's interesting about it is a lot of people in the Christian community would shun anyone who is making claims like you make.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're in the league with demons. How do you react to that? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that is it's so true. But the thing is, when it comes to like organized religion, that's something that I definitely, I'm not all for. I'm not all for this divided, organized, you know, separated religions. Yes, I would, if I had to say anything, I would call myself Christian, because just of that foundational belief system in God and in Jesus. And but to, you know, say that, so I guess I'll say is, there are a lot of people who are Christian that, you know, hear anything that's otherworldly or maybe unexplainable or any kind of contact with anything that's not physical to kind of just, it's hard to put words on. But yeah, I,
sorry.
That's okay. I'm just trying to figure out how to say this. But yeah, I do use a lot of like Bible verses throughout my book. And
yes. Well, it's a very beautiful, I mean, you really do know the Bible extremely well. And I'm quite impressed by that. Of course, I wrote a book called Jesus, A New Vision, which has caused some people I know to be reduced to fist-pounding rage. Heretic, heretic. And I'm not a heretic. I'm a Christian too.
Right.
And but I'm a Christian who isn't necessarily a believer in that sense. And I think you are too. In other words, there's a whole lot of belief that has risen up around the teachings of Jesus. And if you strip all that away, all those ideas away, and just go to the teaching, it's quite wonderful, I think.
Yeah. I don't put myself inside of like a closed box, you know, of one religion or one denomination or one belief set, because there's so much more. And really, you know, when you go looking into so many other ancient beliefs and religious beliefs across the world, there's so much truth in so many of them. And everything that I've experienced, it just, at least to me, it proves to me that there's so much more around us than what we're told. And just because someone, you know, has come into contact with, because there's so many other beings like us, there's so many others, all different kinds, it's not just humans and angels and demons, it's humans and angels and demons and like 25 other different beings, all different sizes and shapes and all in different realms. And and it's incredible how that really changes your reality and your perspective on life and your perspective when, you know, you are a Christian or, you know, because it, you don't put those limitations on, you know, what you're willing to perceive or believe in. Yeah.
So, you know, this gets me to the beginning, because you're talking about beings and you describe tell us about what happened when you had the really remarkable experience of being taken out of your body at like the age of 5. Tell us that story. I think it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, I was actually about only a year or two old. And it was before I could talk fully. So it was somewhere between a year or two. And I was taken out of body by three beings. And I was taken to the top of the staircase at the house that I grew up in. And so the beings that took me out, they were golden beings, and they were transparent, but all of their details were outlined in this shimmering gold. And they were kind of like your typical cherub angel looking. They look like children, and so at the top of the staircase, there was one of them that was to my left floating, and the other one was to my right floating. And then there was one at the bottom of the staircase looking up at us. And just being in their presence, it basically changed my life. It started something that was never going to stop. It was never going to slow down. It completely opened the doors to perceiving these types of things and being completely open to having these experiences nonstop for the rest of my life. And so they were there to teach me how to fly down the staircase. And so the two on each side of me, they were telling me to lift up off of the ground, and they were talking to me telepathically. And so everything that they thought, everything that they were saying to me, all of their emotions, their intentions, everything came through this telepathic bridge that connected us. And so what I did was I was just swimming. I remember the feeling. It's like I can almost just manifest how it felt all around me. All of these currents were just flowing around me. And all of these energies and all of this, it just goes so far beyond words how it felt to be in that powerful environment. And it was so charged from being with them. I know that amplified it a lot.
They were very high energy.
Yeah, very.
Now that we're doing this again, something, and I hope the recording is still working, because as you described this, I could feel it like it was happening to me. It was very strange. And I wonder if it didn't happen to me maybe as a child, maybe the other experiencers, if you had the same feeling I just had when you're listening to this, put it in the chat on unknowncountry.com or in the YouTube channel. Tell us about it, because it's there's something here. And when we talk to someone like Samantha, we come right to the edge of our reality and close to another realm that Samantha in her book describes as more real than the physical world. And we're going to take a brief break. When we get back, we're going to discuss exactly what that means. Where are we? And where are our souls really? What is this place that's more real than the physical world? For years, we've been told that close encounter is a mystery for governments, militaries, intelligence agencies, officials, and scientists to solve behind closed doors. That's not true. The truth is far more powerful and far more personal. Close encounter happens to ordinary people like me, like you, and our families. People like us, with hopes, homes, fears, and questions that will not go away, that will only be answered in a relationship between us and our visitors. Transformation 2026 is not a book about belief. It is a witness statement. It's the story of what happened when one family had the visitors walk into our lives and stay with us and live with us for 3 years. They didn't sit across a table from us, but they came to us in many extraordinary ways. Transformation 2026 is a chronicle of that experience, updated with all kinds of new information. So it's a book definitely for today, especially if disclosure brings more contact, which it well may. Transformation 2026. Get it. Read it. Decide for yourself what you would do if something as strange as the visitors came walking through your door into your family's life. That happened to me and my family, and we're still here. We're still here, immensely transformed by our experience. So get it from Amazon. Get it from Audible, read by me. But get it. Do that today. We're talking to Samantha Leifker, her book, Born Awakened. She entered another realm when she was a very small child, was taken there by, I guess, beings of more energy and or a more intense energy or higher energy or something, or just a different energy from the physical energy. I don't know. And you have since then, and it's shot through the whole book, been part of another realm at the same time you're part of this realm. What is that like? Tell us about that realm.
So it is definitely more real than the physical. Because we are so much more than just a physical body. It's such a small, tiny little part of our life. And the other realm, or the many other realms, it's really incredible how it feels to be there. And throughout my life, since I was exposed to that and been taken out of body to have these experiences in the other realms, I can feel that energy. It's like I'm on both sides at the same time, at all times. I feel like I'm just here just enough just to be physical. But what I'm feeling and what I can sense and everything around me, it's like I'm in the doorway all the time.
The angels taught you to fly without words. It was telepathic. Mm-hmm. Can you describe, do you think it's possible to bring into words how that communication felt and how you experienced it? Because I think a lot of us, both people in the close encounter experience and a lot of people, are right at the edge of being aware of the presence of such things in our lives. Can you describe that?
Yeah. So what I felt during the encounter with the three golden beings and with many other encounters that I've had throughout my life was, there is a flow within yourself, within your being, and it interacts with the field around you and all of these currents, and that's the best word that I can use, these flowing currents around you. And every intelligent being has this flow that comes from them, and it connects between beings when they try to communicate, And it does not have to be like, you know, you don't have to be close to each other. You can be across the world. And this telepathic bridge can connect between you and someone else. But in the case when I was with the golden beings, I could feel, I could sense, because it wasn't with the senses that were familiar with in the physical world. It was with other senses that I don't necessarily have the words for, but I could feel their energy connecting with mine, and it made like a bridge between us. And it was this flowing bridge of information between me and the one to my left, between me and the one to my right, and between me and the one that was waiting at the bottom of the staircase. And I was experiencing it all at once. And at the same time as just being like a swirling current of everything else that was just in the charged atmosphere. But their information came through that bridge that connected us, that energetic bridge. And it was so palpable with my senses that are not physical that I could almost touch it. It's I could almost see it. I could almost, it was so there. But yeah, it flowed between that connection. It's like if, imagine if you're like, and this is something else that I had to kind of get used to as I grew up, is like if I'm going into the grocery store and, you know, you were walking by person after person, that bridge for a second will connect as you're walking by people. And it's, I could go on about that, but we all have this ability.
I think that happened between us long distance the last time we did this. And I think the energy is what somehow or another killed the recording.
Yeah.
Because there was just no sign of it at all. It's like it didn't happen. And yet the recording was turned on.
And yeah, it was, because I watched the recording start. I watched it end, you know, because I got the notification, like recording started, recording ended, and we were all good to go. And then it's so wild.
Nothing happened. It was just very weird and frustrating for me, of course, and for you, because it was, I would love to have that recording back, but something said no, that we had gone, we were too deep into something that for whatever reason wants to not be in this particular space that we live in. Now let's get back to this, because I want to excavate this a little bit more, this communication. And you write about this hum, a deep hum or vibration that you feel underlies everything. Now, I feel that a lot, and I even write about it in my book, The Fourth Mind, and lots of people do feel this, and I think that if we call attention to it, more people are going to realize that this energy is there. Is this a substance of the spiritual world or the presence of God? What is this?
I think both of those are good things to use to describe it. How I kind of describe it is the hum, the energy of the creator, that he constantly lets out or puts out so that reality exists. It's like a part of him in everything, that vibration that's constant, that energy that's constant, that's everlasting and unbreakable, that's just behind every single thing in existence, because without that, nothing would be here. Without that constant, nothing would exist. And the one who created everything is behind that vibration or that hum, that is so loud and not like audibly, not like with sound, like as we understand it in the physical world, but you can feel it in your soul. You can taste it. You can touch it. You can hear it. It's so intense, but it's just every single atom, every molecule, and all the way down to the smallest, you know, building block of life, is sustained because of this hum, because of this constant.
Of course, there's in one of the other world's other great religions, Hinduism, there's the idea of Om.
Yeah.
And by the way, we talked a few minutes ago about religions and being a Christian and being aware of other religions. Boy, I'm telling you, when I went to India, before I went to India 2 years ago, I had an awareness of Hinduism and its significance. But when I was there, I knew I was in the presence of a truly great and ancient religion. And, you know, we can't reject one because we're in another.
Right.
It's like my long journey in Buddhism for many years. I was never a Buddhist, but I was intensely interested. And when I went to India, the power of the place, I went to Varanasi, the key city of the religion and on the Ganges, and it was just extraordinary. And then I went down to Bodh Gaya and sat under the Bodhi tree of Buddha and reflected. When you go to Bodh Gaya, you see these gigantic Buddhas, and you remember that Buddha said, "I don't want any images of me."
Right.
And yet, and not only did he get images, the biggest statues in the world are statues of Buddha. It's almost as if he was being sort of laughed at. Now, we're going to take another break. And when we get back, we're going to take a significant shift, because we're going to a haunted house, a very haunted house that Samantha knows all too well. We'll be right back. Where is the unknown country? Is it out there in the stars? Or is it also somewhere else? Is it in us, in you? Unknown country, join us today. Go to unknowncountry.com right now and join us. Join the questions. Join the search. Join the adventure. Unknowncountry.com. There's no place like it in the world. Have you ever read Communion? Or have you never read Communion? It's out in a new edition. Very powerful, a subtly new cover that reflects the fact that the visitors are now looking back at us because they truly are. You can get it from the unknowncountry.com store as a Kindle, as a beautiful, sumptuous paperback, or as an unabridged audiobook read by me. It's the first time in the whole life of Communion that it has been read in full in audio format. And believe you me, I felt that reading. I put my life, my memories into it, and I trust you can hear it in the voice. I sure felt it while I was reading. So get Communion, listen to it, read it. Communion is of central importance to all of our lives. We're talking to Samantha Leifker. Her book, Born Awakened, and her life journey so extraordinary. Now, I want to bring up a house that seems almost like a living being, a character. It's the Britton House. So tell us a little bit about the Britton House.
Yeah, I love that. A character, because it was. So I was born there in 1995, and I lived there until my mom sold it when I was about 18 or 19. But I lived there full time until I was about 15. And so it was a poltergeist house. It had activity going on day and night. It was a constant battle, things all around me. And this is something that me and my brother experienced the entire time being there, past and current residents that I've had the honor of connecting with while I was writing my book. But there were so many different beings and forces and spirits and entities and all of those terms that you can come up with, all of it. It was all there. There was a portal in the family room that me and my brother both encountered that things just came in and out of constantly. And I have a feeling that a lot of the activity was also tied to the land somehow. And that's one of my next things that I want to kind of do some research on is the land before it was built. It was built in, 1923. So it's not super, super, super old, but it was old enough to have a lot of activity. But yeah, so there was things like boot stomps following me around all the time. There were apparitions that we would see, voices, things coming up and down the staircase, entities that I would encounter out of body. There were times when you would be me and my brother were a little bit older, we would be going to sleep in the family room, and there were a lot of times huge heavy boot stomps that would come crashing across the dining room and stop right behind us. There were times when I was actually lifted. This happened countless times throughout my childhood growing up there. Is I would take a few steps down the main staircase upstairs to go back down to the main floor, and there was a little landing, like a flat area where it would turn, go the rest of the way down. So as soon as I turned on that landing, I was lifted up into the air and shot all the way down the staircase with my arms and legs in the air, with just barely the center of my back hitting each step all the way down. Until I got to the bottom. And when I got to the bottom, I couldn't breathe. I wasn't able to inhale any air into my lungs. And it was just until the very last second that I was finally able to let in air every time. And that happened to my brother. That happened to past residents. So there was just, it was just a all sorts of activity.
Now, you mentioned different types of entity, that some of them seemed angelic and some of them were demonic or dark entities. And it seems like an obvious question, but I don't think it actually is. How did you learn to distinguish between them?
I guess it was just a natural ability to discern their presence. For me, it was always right away obvious what they were putting off, what their presence was about, and the energy that they were blasting from within themselves, and how that affected me and how I felt from that. It was right away. I knew every time.
What did they generally want? Each type.
So there were a lot of the things that came in and out of the house, didn't seem to like me being there, and they didn't seem to like the fact that I could see them and that I could sense them, and that I was going around out of body every night and able to actually see their form beyond the physical realm. And so I knew them very well, and they really didn't, a lot of them really did not like that. And I was physically attacked. And I think it was because of just they saw me as a threat because, yeah. And then there were other, sorry, go
No, you could tell I wanted to ask a question.
ahead.
They saw you as a threat because you were invading their space, their part of the house or their reality in the house. They wanted to live another way, and you were getting in the way. Is that accurate, do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely was getting in their way. Because another type of being that was in my life and still is in my life, was there was one main one that I call him because I feel like it was a masculine energy from him, an interdimensional teacher. And he came on a regular basis throughout my life to remove me from my body and place me in certain parts of the house or outside of the house or just come to teach me certain things or make me aware of certain things or activate certain things within me. And so I was taken out of body throughout my childhood at this place with all of these entities all over, and I was placed before them to what I felt like was to make them leave certain ones, or maybe it was just, hey, this is a perfect opportunity to teach her this because these things are here, let's teach her how to overcome some of these things because she's in a perfect situation, or maybe some of them were there to teach me this. But yeah, I definitely got in their way.
I want to describe to you an experience I had a couple of nights ago. Most of my listeners know that I do a meditator. It's a communication between 3 and 4 in the morning every morning. That works through my implant. And the other morning, I was deep in the meditative state, the body sensing state. And I saw in my third eye, in my mind's eye, a male face. It didn't look like a bad face at all. It was just a normal looking man, only the way I was seeing him was anything but normal in our context. And he wanted to commune with me. In other words, he wanted to actually enter my body with me. And I thought, well, what if he takes over? And then I thought, all these years, no one's ever done that. So yeah, okay. And he came in, and there was this wonderful energy came into my whole body, and I felt the presence of another being, another mind, another soul, another personality inside me. And there was a time when I would have felt like it was an attempt at possession, and I would have been scared to death. But I wasn't scared at all. I enjoyed the time we had together. We were together for about an hour or so. And it was, a very, very intensely physical experience. My whole body was enriched in the morning when I woke up after. I felt like, if you're not careful, you're gonna levitate here. Can you I know this relates in some ways to things that have happened to you. And can you sort of riff on that and give us an idea of your impression of this and how it relates to your own experiences?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I'm so familiar with that connection you're talking about. When you come into a bond with someone who's not a physical human, especially, you know, when there's someone who's coming to help you or guide you or heal you or awaken part of you. And that intense feeling of love or just joy that you just fills you up. And you almost feel like you're going to come right out of body because you're so overflowing with this energized energy. I know the feeling, and I've experienced that type of feeling so many times coming into contact with beings that came to assist me and came to protect me or came to teach me. And it really is an amazing feeling, and to kind of wake up in the morning and still be just energized because of it. I totally know that feeling. maybe it was about a week ago or so when I had that out of body experience. And I was in that, that wormhole basically. And then I became conscious in the other realm, and I decided to come back into my physical body. And then I launched out and I was flying around my bedroom, looking down at me and my husband. and that same morning, and I definitely felt like someone came to almost like touch me, you know, so that just it, that would activate, or at least that's how it felt. But that when I woke up, it's like I'm almost still energized over a week later from something like that. So yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I do too. I am feeling that same energy still as well. We're going to take another brief break, and then we're going to get into some deeper stuff even then. We're going to talk about a cube that surprised me very much, because she's the only person I know of who's ever talked about or written about something like a cube-shaped UFO, which has been a part of my life for a long time. And so we'll get into all that when we get back. And we'll be right back. The president has directed the Defense Department to release all of its documents involving UFOs and aliens. There are rumors that this might actually happen, and even that they might tell the truth. If you read the Whitley Strieber Substack or my most recent blog on unknowncountry.com, I explain exactly why. But if it does happen, does it also mean direct contact with aliens from more people? What happens if they come into your life, your children's lives? It's not going to be abductions like it was in the past. It's going to be a very different experience, something much more like what happened to my family after the communion experience. I wrote two books about it, Transformation and Breakthrough. They were beaten to death by the media and not much read, but they remain the only chronicle of such an experience that has ever been put into print. They're a blueprint for how to make contact work, and it can work, and that is certainly very important. Governments come and governments go, but the visitors are going to be in our lives from now on, forever. So how do we handle this? Is it good? Bad? Are we in danger? Or at the start of something wonderful? Find out how one family made contact work in Transformation 2026, the massive update to the original book, available now on Amazon.com. We're talking to Samantha Leifker, and we're going to talk now about a UFO. When I was a boy, and my dad took me to the country house a couple of times, maybe more than a couple, I remember two. And a cube, bright cube-shaped, I now know a UFO, I don't know, didn't know what it was then, would come tumbling over the house and go behind the house into a pasture, which we call the back pasture. And I would go walking out there. I don't remember what I did, but the amazing thing is here's an 8 or 9 year old boy sees this and has no problem walking out into the dark pasture to confront it by himself, while his father stands there still as a boy, stiff as a board. And now, when I was very surprised, the cube in the sky description in your book and the bridging of angelic imagery and UFO imagery, because I've always felt there's something profoundly angelic in what happens to me, and I think to you too, but it's mixed in. I mean, it's very complex. There's lots of dark side stuff too. So can you kind of just give us your thoughts about this cube shape? Tell us where you saw it and how material it was and so forth, and talk a little bit about it. Then I don't want to forget this. I want to bring in the stories of your brother, because, you know, there's a lot of multiple witness here, folks. She's not alone in this. Okay, so let's tell us about the cube.
Yeah, so the cube-shaped UFO was something that I was taken to when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And so it was one night. I was laying in bed in my room at the Britton house, and I had my door shut, and I remember laying there just trying to get to sleep. I was awake, just kind of, you know, trying to get to bed. And I remember looking at the moonlight that was coming through the blinds on the ceiling. And then all of a sudden, I knew that I was not alone. And the presence that came into my room before I saw what it was so powerfully heavenly. And then what happened was these two angelic women manifested above me. So I was laying in bed, and they manifested above my bed, and they were floating above me. One was more to my right, and the other one was more to my left. And they were like the size of a woman and maybe of a smaller woman. And they had these big, beautiful wings, and they had these white gowns on, and they were just looking at me. And then they both reached their hands out and put them underneath my body, and they lifted my spiritual body out of my physical body. And I felt myself be like, I felt the removal, like I was snapping out. And as soon as they did that, everything in the physical realm was a memory. I was in reality. And the material physical world was a dream. That was a little dream I had one time. And now where I was home. And they just projected such an incredible love into me as they lifted me into the air. And so they lifted me up into the air above my bed, and I looked down at my body sleeping. I kind of looked like I was sleeping at that point after they took me out. And so they carried me through the ceiling and then through the roof of the house. And then they carried me up through the sky, and we were ascending through the night sky and kind of passing up clouds. And after we got into where a lot of clouds were, I looked up, and there was a cube floating in the clouds, and it was like a dark gray steel blue kind of color, and it wasn't moving, it wasn't making any sound, and it was probably about the size of a house, And so that's where they were taking me. And so they took me all the way to the cube. And when we got to, when we got close enough to the side of it, the whole side dissolved or lowered its density so that we could pass through the wall and go inside. It's kind of like the door opened, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a door. It was the whole side of it just, it like lowered its density basically, or disappeared and then reappeared. And so when we went inside, it was just one big white room, and there was white light that was shining from the ceilings, the floors, the walls. And there were like moving boxes scattered across the floor of this huge room, or space. And the two beings that took me there, they set me inside of one of the boxes that was kind of up against the wall. And it was a pretty big box. And I, it was about, when I stood in it, after they set me in it, I was about up to my chest. And I was next to the shelf on the wall. And so after the being set me inside, they floated over to the corner of the room and they just observed me. And I was, I had this understanding that I was supposed to reach for something on the shelf that was next to me on the wall. And there was maybe three tiers, a shelf with three tiers, and there were items scattered across each shelf. And so I like stood on my toes and I was reaching as far as I could, for anything that I could reach on the shelf, and I couldn't reach it. It was just too far away. And so I looked back at the beings and they just transferred this encouragement through that telepathic bridge again, because they didn't speak with words. They spoke telepathically. And so I turned around and I tried again and I tried again, and I just couldn't, I couldn't reach it. And so they, and another thing about the UFO was the side that we came into, and they set me in a box. And so on the opposite side from what we came in, that side was open, and there was another craft that was camouflaged hovering on the outside of the cube that two men were loading boxes into or out from that craft. And I could just see the craft outside, just enough to know it was there. It was kind of like a, when you see heat waves above a car kind of thing. But yeah, so I couldn't reach an item on the shelf. And so the angels took me out of the box and they carried me out of the cube and back down through the night sky and through the roof of the Britain House. And they placed me back into my body. And I was like, I felt myself snap back in and reconnect. And I just laid there like I was in total awe. Like, who were these beings? Why was I taken there? It felt like a complete test. But I was so overwhelmed with that love that they transferred to me. And it's almost like they helped open up me even more too. But yeah, it was an incredible experience. And how you say that some UFO encounters can, you know, they cross over with angelic encounters. That's so true. I've experienced several things like this that are so heavenly, that are so filled with love.
Yeah, I have too. I've also experienced the opposite, but I've come to understand that my very violent abduction was basically the result of frustration on their part. I didn't know this when I was writing Communion, but I have realized that the entire summer before that, they were trying to get through to me and failing. And they just finally lost their temper, basically. Okay. And Annie once said, you know, it's like somebody, they were like people who lost their temper. And I said, well, that wouldn't be unusual in my life, which I do Annie used to say, "You're the most annoying person I've ever known," and I'm trying to be nice. I mean, I always seem to annoy people in ways that to me are unexpected, and I think I basically did that too. But in any case, there was of course, a long arc from there to now, and I now in those days I thought, what an awful experience, what awful beings, et cetera, and so forth. But my life experience especially with Jeff Kripal, Dr. Kripal, is I've understood this to be an initiatory experience. That means the total turning over of your whole life. Now, I'm wondering if you had possibly an initiatory experience before you were born. In other words, you came into this very extraordinary life with an ability to see things in a kind of unfiltered way that most of us do not see that at all. And I think to myself, what in the world are you? And you're very different. And yet, at the same time, you're a sweet, nice person, a married woman, a good woman, a good person in every respect. You're very down to earth, but that's not where you stop. You're definitely keep going beyond our world. Any memories or feelings of what it was between the lives for you?
It's something that I really ask myself too. It's something that I've always wondered. Whether I came into this time, into this experience that I'm having now, this lifetime, did I know what I was gonna do? Did I know, did I have some type of initiatory experience before my physical body was born? Yeah, sorry, I lost.
No,
I
that's
completely
okay.
lost
That,
myself.
yeah, that's, why you lost yourself? I think you did have that and you're not supposed to remember it.
Oh my God, that's
Because if you
what.
did remember it, you would stop living your life and be an actor on the stage.
I literally felt like a sense of like completely blocked out everything that in my mind. I had a whole
Yeah.
answer building up. And as soon as I was
And
started saying it, it's like, I don't even remember. What are we talking about? Like something came in
Well,
black, like, nope, you're not supposed to
you
know.
know what Shakespeare says, we are as actors on a stage. We are actors on a stage. What is it? What is the exact phrase? I think I can remember it.
I know, I know you.
Okay, I this is something that's always on the tip of my tongue. These let me see Okay, yeah, okay. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. That is what I wanted to say. The great words of Shakespeare in The
Yeah.
Tempest. So true. Now we have a few minutes left. Let's talk about your relationship with your brother and the shared experiences.
Yeah, so me and him went through a lot growing up at that place. There were a lot of things that I experienced that he didn't, and that he experienced that I didn't, and that we experienced together. One thing that always kind of comes up right away when I talk about things that me and him have experienced together is the time that he came running into my bedroom and one morning, and he said, "Sam, there's something in my room." He told me that he had what he understood as a dream, but he kind of knew that it wasn't, because it's now in the reality, it's in the physical world. The other side is more reality, but you know what I mean, in the physical world. And So he figured, you know, probably wasn't a dream, but in the moment I thought I was dreaming that a bat-like entity, like a humanoid bat, came and bit him and then was still in his room, and it was giving the sensation of pins and needles all over his body in his bedroom. And that was the first time I had ever heard anything like that. And so I got up right away and I said, I'm going to go into your room right now. And, you know, see, and we both left my room and I walked in front of him down the hallway. And as soon as my foot went past the threshold of his doorway and my body started to come into his room, I felt the pins and needles hit my skin, thousands of needles, as I stepped into his bedroom. And I stepped all the way in, and then he came in behind me, and me and him just stood there being poked with thousands and thousands of needles all over my body. And it was under my clothes and everything. I could feel it everywhere. And there was this very, very, very dark presence that did not like him or me. And I felt like it was something that had entered in through possibly the portal that was downstairs, and it came through, attacked one of us, and then before it left and went on its way. That's just kind of what I understand. But so we were standing there, and as soon as we were just kind of frozen, and I looked at him and I was like, whoa. And so I could feel this presence in front of us. And I spoke out loud and I told it that it wasn't welcome. I told it that we had authority over it and that I know who I was and that it needed to leave. And so that's when I sensed its presence leave through his bedroom window, and the pins and needle sensation came off of both of us. And so after it left, he walked in front of my brother walked in front of me, and he sat on his bed and he lifted up his shirt, and there were bite marks on his abdomen. And so I just kind of like sat next to him and gave him a hug, because it was like, what else can we do? And it was so real, and it was just me and him. And so this was just an example of something that me and him went through, and that we were there for each other, you know, during all of this. It was actually just a few days later that I was across town at my dad's house, and I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was laying in my bedroom, and there was this little window. So this was across town. And suddenly I felt like I wasn't alone, but it was a dark presence that came up to the other side of the window from outside. And I felt pins and needles like wave over my body from the window side over and just come over me. And I said the same thing I said in my brother's bedroom just a couple days prior to that, that it couldn't mess with me. And I knew who I was. And it left. And that was the last time I ever encountered that. But yeah, there were tons of things like that we encountered there at that house. Yeah.
You knew who you were. And that is the strength and the energy of this. I think that's probably why you've ended up doing what you do, because you can. Most people are not so knowledgeable. I sometimes think I have a lot of old souls on this show. And I think you're one of them. You're a young one, but an old soul. And it's just been a remarkable experience talking to you, Samantha. And I'm very glad you were willing to come back after the debacle of the past one. And I just hope that the energy hasn't overwhelmed the show this time. we have a recording. Everything looks perfect. But okay. You never know. In any case, thank you so much for being with us on Dreamland. And may you prosper in your life and come back sometime soon and we can keep talking. I'd love to have a kind of a colloquy between you and some other people in this experience because there are a number of people who have very high level relationships like you do, and I would like to get them all together and be a fly on the wall while you commune with each other. So
Yeah,
thank you.
that would be awesome. And yeah, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, thank you. Next week on Dreamland, Lynn Katai will be with us. Lynn is the prime mover of the Phoenix Lights phenomenon. And it's been a long time since we thought about that. But in that long time, a lot has happened. You'll be fascinated with what Lynn has to report about the developments since those days that the Phoenix Lights stunned the world. See you next week.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Our theme music is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Strieber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Strieber is your Dreamland host. And I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander.